a privilege to welcome you this morning to this service as we gather to remember and to celebrate the life of Wanda Hall, who passed away this past Friday evening, November 8th, at Mountain Plaza Assisted Living, in the presence of her son, Randy, daughter-in-law, Michelle, and family and friends. We want to thank God for her love, for her long and happy marriage of 66 years to Boyd, and for the life they have shared with their family and friends over all these years in many ways and places. So again, welcome.
To die.
We ask that life be kind,
Dio Tirio Desfroque.
And watch us from above.
O Nunia Trovio Mo.
We hope it so we'll find.
Interno dentro se.
Another soul to love.
Let this be our prayer.
Let this be our prayer.
Just like every child.
Like every child
needs us to a place, guide us with your grace, give us faith so we'll be saved. Eda pedike, I achieve.
As we continue, let us hear these words of comfort. The eternal God is our dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. And finally, from Jesus, these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Let us pray. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, in whom our life is your joy, and death only an incident in the eternal adventure to which you have called us, bring light out of our darkness, hope out of our sorrow, and comfort that rises out of an awareness of your presence. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
In God whose words I praise, and the Lord whose word I praise, and God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thanks offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from the stumbling, that I may walk before God in light of life.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory,
What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine what that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance with you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it at all? I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine. 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 When all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I am not going to there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am.
It would be easy give up. But instead,
David says, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? He says, God, you have delivered me from death. He feels like no matter what is going to happen to him physically, it will be okay. Because he knows that there is eternal life and that God provides eternal life and safety and comfort to all who believe in him. In the second scripture is a totally different setting. Jesus is trying to comfort his disciples. They are confused, upset. They don't understand what's going on. Jesus has told them that he's going to die and that they will betray him. But yet, he is offering the comfort to them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God and believe in me also. You see, he talks about going and preparing a room at his father's house. He paves the way for us to go either through the cross or on up into the house of God so that there is a room, because there's a room for each and every one of us. God has stated that. You know, as I think back on Wanda's life, Wanda was not fearful of death. Wanda believed in God. She believed in Jesus. She believed the fact that she didn't have to stand and be a leader amongst everything, but she could do God's work by being a wife and a mother and a grandmother and a steward of her church. She exemplified what it means to be like Jesus as she went about her work. Even though she suffered for many years from arthritic pain, that didn't matter. She believed in God. She believed that God did not give her challenges that she could not overcome. She believed that through her faith, she could provide faith to others, whether it be to her husband, to her son, daughter-in-law, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. She was not afraid to tell you if she thought you had chosen the wrong path. But she was the first one to tell you that if you started to get things figured out, she'd forgive you. You see, I picture Wanda right now arranging the furniture in her room in God's house. She is getting things put there the way she wants them in preparation for us. But I also think that Wanda speaks to us, and especially to the family, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe that Wanda is with you each and every day as you go forward. You'll remember her laugh. You'll remember her smile. You'll remember certain things that she would say. And that will shine a light in your heart from now until you join her again in eternity. You see, I truly believe that God gives us gifts. And Wanda Hall was a gift from God to the people of God. Amen.
Mr. Stumble Bumpkin here. My mother was a member of this church, I think, for about 50 years. Not many members that age survive, and there's not many of them left. Michelle's granddaughters and grandson, great-grandchildren, nephews, nieces, and I welcome you this morning to the celebration of my mom's wonderful life. First, I'd like to thank a few people. Kenene Humphrey and the wonderful caregivers and staff at Mountain Plaza Assisted Living Center, which was Mom's home for almost 5 years. In particular, Bailey, Kim, Michelle, Sherry, Donna, Aldine. To the caregivers at Mel's Helping Hands, Mylea, Chelsea, Cheryl, Leanna, Carla, Priscilla, Mary, Chastity, and Kyler. And to the caregivers in Mom's final days from home instead, Courtney, Cynthia, Hannah, Kelly, and Brianne. The family appreciates the love, kindness, and compassion you shared each day with and for Mom. To Barb Reese for so many years of patient attention to Mom's hair and the beauty you instilled in her final appearance, provided great comfort to me and to my family. To Nadia Fries, thank you for almost 10 years of friendship and wonderful care for both Mom and Dad, but especially for the dignity you brought to Mom's final days and hours. To Terry Zink, my adopted sister and friend for 64 years, thank you for each phone call and visit. Mom's day was not complete until she heard from you. My mother loved each one of you in a way that is unique and only to you. Now, I'm going to have a hard time with this, and I hope you will bear with me, but this is my mom's tribute. And I want to give you some sense of the life of this woman. Much like my dad's upbringing, Mom was born in a small rural Depression-era town that no longer exists. For Mom, it was Sherem, Arkansas, in 1928, the youngest child of seven, just before the start of the Great Depression. Her daddy, Gus, was a cotton sharecropper and part-time constable for Randolph County, Arkansas. Picking cotton was back-breaking work, 8 to 10 hours bent over, plucking cotton from sharp bowls that left hands raw and bleeding at the end of each day. Back then, every able family member lent a hand in the fields. Peachy was Mom's mother. She stayed at the tar paper shack, snapping peas and beans, churning butter, milking the farm cow and gathering eggs, curing bacon and ham, stretching clothes across the washboard and hanging them out to dry, keeping their home such that it was as clean as possible. Mom spoke often of her mother's kind heart and generous soul. During the Depression, there were no modern conveniences. Most poor farmers couldn't even afford a radio. So they gathered the family together each night in the home or on the porch. Her brothers would play guitar, and they all would sing the popular gospel songs they learned in church and Sunday school. There would be time for prayer, too, before each meal and before bed each night. Mom's mother and daddy instilled in their children a strong belief in God and Christian charity. Early on, she and her siblings would walk for miles to deliver food to ailing neighbors, a common practice in the Deep South during the Depression, even though they could barely afford to feed their own family. Despite the poverty and harsh conditions, her family was full of love and joy, and her home was small but welcoming. She grew up as the youngest girl with three older brothers still at home. They would hunt squirrels, rodents, and snakes, and Mom would tag along, and she would hold her own during frequent roughhouse sessions with one of her brothers. Back then, education for girls wasn't as important as chores around the house or helping pick cotton in the field. So Mom left school after the ninth grade to work at home alongside her mother. It's where she learned to cook the great Southern meals she prepared for my dad and I. Thankfully, she wrote down many of mother's recipes, of her mother's recipes, and shared them with my daughters. Mom left home in her late teens and moved to St. Louis, where she enrolled in the Betty Templeman School of Beauty. Her dream was to be a fashion model, but her rich contralto voice is what caught the attention of the talent scouts. She was encouraged to audition many times as a blues singer in the bars and blues clubs of St. Louis and Kansas City, but her Christian upbringing and thoughts of her parents' disapproval kept her from doing so, a decision she regretted for many years. Instead, she waited tables in a small diner while working part-time as a model at one of the popular department stores. Young, female, and lacking education, opportunities were limited for fulfilling employment. So in 1949, Mom packed up and moved to Riverton, Wyoming to be near her brother and sister. While waiting tables at a downtown cafe, she met a young, handsome iron worker, Boyd Hall. The California company Boyd was employed with sent him to Riverton to work on an irrigation project, and it was during one of those mealtime encounters he met Wanda Lee Price. They dated for several months until Boyd received his military induction notice and was required to report to California for service in the U.S. Army. But love had bit deeply, and shortly thereafter he contacted Mom and asked her to come to the Golden State. She made the trip, but not without a marriage commitment, which he offered without hesitation. And during a weekend leave, they took a short trip to Yuma, Arizona, home to Wanda's brother and sister-in-law, where they were married on March 22, 1950. Boyd and Wanda moved frequently during his military service, residing in California, Virginia, and Arizona. Once discharged in 1952, they moved back to California, and Boyd returned to work for Fontana Steel Company. Wanda worked for a time in a military aircraft assembly plant. In mid-1953, Boyd and Wanda joyfully learned she was pregnant and would be due in March. 2 months prior to delivery, Wanda had an appointment with her OBGYN. Because of his job, Boyd was unable to take her, so they arranged for one of Boyd's brothers to take her. It was on the way to this appointment that she and my uncle were involved in a horrific accident that left Wanda lodged in front of the right rear tire. Distraught and afraid she would lose her child, they were rushed to the hospital. As it turned out, Wanda received minor cuts and scrapes and was hospitalized for only a few days. And best of all, the pregnancy was intact, though she would learn later that the accident would prevent her from ever conceiving again. This knowledge was life-altering for her. And would underwrite the precious relationship she would nurture with me. Born March 29th, 1954. While I was growing up, my parents were trying to get ahead. With my dad's brother, they co-owned Teton Steel Company based in Worland, then relocated it to Buffalo, and finally in 1964, after buying out their brother, or my dad's brother, they purchased a property on Page Street in Mountain View and moved Teton Steel there. Finally, Dad would be at home every night, and our family had roots. After building the business into a successful rebar and fabrication company, they sold it to a Denver consortium in 1967, and at the same time purchased Pepper Tank and Contracting Company. While Dad was growing Pepper Tank more than 10 times its original revenues, Mom was tending to the home, keeping it meticulously clean and following me to every school program, parent night, basketball game, science project, spelling bee, Cub Scout, and Boy Scout meeting. After selling Pepper Tank in 1977, my parents moved to Arizona. Mom's arthritis was becoming more and more severe, requiring the move to a warmer climate. For many of you who know me well, you know how important my parents were to me. As an only child, I grew up in a home with only the three of us. As I mentioned before, my dad traveled throughout the state for his work. He was gone during the week and home on the weekends. So Mom was the homemaker. In the early part of my life, when I wasn't in school, I was with my mom. She was my mother, my teacher, playmate, and constant companion. We would play, recite nursery rhymes, sing songs, read for hours. And because of her enrichment, I read at accelerated levels throughout elementary school. Because of her coaching, I was an excellent student in junior high and first runner-up in the citywide spelling bee. Because of her encouragement and constant nudging, I was an honor student throughout high school. Graduating as student body vice president, accepted to Northwestern University, and later transferring to the University of Wyoming. According to Mom, there was nothing I couldn't accomplish if I set my mind to it. A simple principle gifted to me by my mother, who, coincidentally, was unable to complete her own education beyond ninth grade. In many ways, Mom lived a life she was denied through me. And until their deaths, I remained closely tethered to my parents, visiting them often when they lived in Arizona, several times a week, once they moved back to Casper to help me through a difficult cancer diagnosis. While my dad became my best friend and mentor, my mother was always, always my conscience and advisor. Her approval was my reward. Because of her devoted attention to me, I believe I am a principled man with a kind and generous heart. She taught me that loyalty and friendship are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they are the underlying foundation of true friendship. And faith and humility are the bedrocks of our humanity. I am proud and honored to be my mama's boy and known to her, even at the young old age of 65, as her baby. This was my life, and my life was her life. When I met Michelle 26 years ago on her birthday, she brought four beautiful kids to the relationship, ages 2, 4, 6, and 8. I'm certain my mother thought I was nuts. And it took a few years for her to realize that this family was going to be mine. As Michelle and my daughter Jacinda pointed out in the past few days, like me, Mama Hall became the grandmother she didn't have to be. She and my dad relished the roles of grandparents and were actively and frequently involved in each of their lives. They lived long enough to become great-grandparents. 6-year-old Ezra Michelle, 3-year-old Bella May, 2-year-old Aiden Boyd knew Mama Hall and Papa Hall well, and I know they will miss both of them. 3 more were born in the last 4 months. Ezekiel Lee, Zella Ann, and Esselman Peter, named after my mother's oldest brother, whom I never met. Though Mom knew of their birth, she was unable to travel to meet them, but saw each one in FaceTime posts. To my children and grandchildren, though Mama Hall's blood does not pass through your veins, her grace, kindness, humility and joy for life does. Her values will populate your conscience. And her love will echo in your hearts for generations. To my wife, Michelle. Mom loved you beyond words. You were the daughter she yearned for, but she was unable to have. You cared for her in sickness and in health. In her last days, she professed that you would always have a special place in her heart. Hear her voice in times when you doubt, or feel pain, or when you're afraid. Know that the one true sign of Mom's love for you is that she entrusted the most important person in her life to you. The final advice I offer to all of you, I offered at the end of my dad's eulogy, and I offer again. Friends, Wanda would want you to go forth. Do good deeds. Live prayerful lives. Respect one another. Take your loved ones. Hold them tight and never let them go. Thank you for coming.
so I apologize for having issues with the projection. So I'm going to go ahead and do a tribute to my dad. I'm hoping that they'll stop the music here soon. Apologize for that. Hopefully we can get it working because it is a beautiful tribute to her life. So we are deciding, as children and my mother, wanted to pay a tribute to my dad. As he said prior to me, the bond you and your mother had was one of a kind. We hope that this is a constant reminder of the love that she had for you, the love that she showed you, and the example she set for your own children. We are so blessed to have witnessed your bond between you and your mother. We love you, Dad, and we are honored and blessed to be your legacy. Love you forever. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you will be." That baby grew and he grew, and he grew until he was 2 years old. He ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator, and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, "He's such an ornery critter." But at nighttime, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you will be." Well, that little boy grew, and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9, and he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath, and when Grandma came and visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother would say, "You are just a pill." But at nighttime, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and rocked him back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you will be." That boy grew and he grew and he grew until he was a teenager. He had really strange friends, and he wore strange clothes, and he listened to strange music, and he grew his hair. Sometimes his mother said, "You, sir, are so full of prunes." But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened that door to the room, crawled across the floor, looked upon the side of the bed. If he was asleep, she picked him up. She picked that great big boy up, rocked him back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you will be." Well, that teenager grew and he grew and he grew until he was a grown man. Well, that mother, she got old. She got older and older. One day she called upon her son and said, "Please come see me because I am old and I am sick." So her son came to see her. When he came into the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always." But she couldn't finish it because she was too old and too sick. That son went to his mother. He picked her up and he rocked her back and forth. and he's saying to her, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy, you will be. When the son came home that night, he stared for a long time at the top of those stairs. Then he went into that room where his brand new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, your babies we will be. Dad, we love you. And we are truly, truly, truly honored and blessed to call you Dad. Thank you.
Perhaps we'll be able to see this, I don't know, but let's continue now with the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. God bless this dear family. Most gracious God, you who are the giver of life itself, we thank you for the life of Wanda. As we remember her and celebrate her life, we are confident that she has now entered the gates of heaven and stands in your loving presence. We ask that you be especially close to Randy, Michelle, and the entire family during these days of her passing, and that you will surround them with your abundant love and encouragement. And as this congregation has gathered here today, may we be reminded once again that you are a God of great mercy, who gives strength to the weak, refreshment to the weary, comfort to those who grieve, help to the tempted, and new life to the dying. Make us now sensitive to the presence of your comfort and peace through your Holy Spirit, in accordance with the promise Jesus gave that we will not be left alone. Help us to believe in and to be grateful for your eternal love that receives us back into your everlasting care and keeping, where we will know even more fully of your unconditional love for each of us. And amid the changes in our lives, help us to be strong and calm and persuade our hearts to trust in you when you so very clearly say that neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come shall ever separate us from your love revealed to us through your only begotten Son, Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior. Will you join me now as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tried and worn, and hold your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. Are a family whose hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles and light up the sky. Pray to our Father in the name of Jesus, make us a beacon in the darkest times. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, deceived and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world.
The sun. Thank you. When I was but a youngster, Christmas meant one thing, that I'd be getting lots of toys that day. I learned a whole lot different when Mother sat me down and taught me to spell Christmas this way. C is for the Christ child, born upon this day. H for herald angels in the night. R means our Redeemer. I means Israel. S is for the star that shone so bright. T is for three wise men, they who traveled far. M is for the manger where he lay. A's for all he stands for. S means shepherds came. and that's why there's a Christmas Day.
Thanks be to God for the gift of Wanda's life. The family has invited you to join them out at Silver Fox following the service. The family and I will be traveling to the Veterans Cemetery first and then hurrying back out to Silver Fox. So look forward to seeing you. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for the privilege of being here today. Again, for the gift of Wanda's life and for the wonderful things she has done for so many, for the way she has truly touched so many. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit be with us this day and always. Amen.
Stu.
Yes, we love Randy. We keep him close.
He's a kick, isn't he?
Oh, he's a kick. He's just like you.
Oh, he's so cute. I'm so proud of him.
I love you dearly.